Greetings, listeners and viewers. Thank you so very much for joining me on another episode of All Things Faith Walk. This is where we talk about the Word of God in practical terms, meaningful ways, so that you and I can take them and walk them out in our daily lives. I cannot thank you enough for taking the time out of your busy schedule to hang out with me today. I have a special treat for you. Life is unpredictable. We never know what life is going to serve us. But the one thing we know, that Emmanuel, God, Yahweh Shammah, is always with us. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. And he carries us through the worst times of life. My guest today, Jenny Muscatel. I hope I didn't butcher your name.
Muscatel, you got it.
All right. Thank you. It's going to share her story. I always say that we should not waste our pain and that the Lord takes us through things purposefully. We may not understand the why. And in fact, we should not understand the why, because if we understand the why, then there's no reason to trust. And these things only come to strengthen our faith muscle. Well, Jenny has gone through much, and she's here to tell us that the Lord brought her through it. And she's here to pour into anyone that may be facing challenges today, and you can't see your way out. Jenny has over 2 decades of experience in the social services field. She has established extensive knowledge and expertise, specializing in crisis intervention, health systems, and end-of-life care. That's heavy. Jenny is the author of the amazing best-selling book, The Journey of Faith and an Open Heart. As a public speaker, she has shared her faith and experience on a variety of podcasts, social media platforms, radio, and television. So this is nothing new to Jenny. And the book we're going to talk about today is The Journey of Faith and an Open Heart. She will be telling us about this book and the loss of her husband at a pretty young age. Yeah. She will describe the demand for faith that her experiences placed on her and how she met those demands. Welcome, Jenny. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this all week.
All right. Me too. And I think this is going to be a power punch, a faith punch, a faith pack, a faith capsule to our listeners. So much is going on today, and so many people are facing tough times, difficult times, losses, some unnecessary losses, some struggles, some failure. And many people are struggling, whether I should give up, should I throw in the towel? Why is this happening to me? So a word like this, I believe, is extremely, extremely timely for the season in which we live. I want you to give us the cliff version of the book, The Journey of Faith and an Open Heart. What is this book about?
Oh, thank you. I'd love to. This book it's a memoir of my journey through faith. And in my life, I've had to face a series of battles, and they've been big ones. My daughter was born with a complex congenital heart disease, and she's had to have 8 major open heart surgeries. And I lost my husband of a heart attack at the age of 38. And it has been a tremendous journey that we've gone through. But the one thing that I can say for certain is that God was with us every step of the way, and he showed up in the most powerful and unimaginable ways that I can even begin to give credit to.
Because read the book.
So amazing.
Yeah. God has showed up in the most unexpected times and in the most powerful ways. And let me add that sometimes when we're going through situations, he does show up, but sometimes we are so engrossed, self-absorbed in our situations that we don't recognize that he has showed up until after he has shown up and stepped back. So when we're going through situations, we need to be alert because we're not going through it alone. And so we have to be open to embracing his interventions, his help, and his hand that is guiding us. So the book, does invite the readers in your experiences. Why did you choose to do that? I mean, this is your life. Why? You're muted.
Sorry about that. I cleared myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It is. And one of the things about that is that God is so personal and he has a unique relationship with each one of us. Mm-hmm. But that relationship that he has with us is such an incredible thing that it is actually almost very hard to put into words. Mm-hmm. And it's a little hard to create the greatness of who he is in some brief description. And so to me, that's something that has to be experienced, but mm-hmm. we all have different journeys and we mm-hmm. all have different walks. Mm-hmm. And personally, I don't ever want to be a stumbling block to someone right. in their walk. It's so important to me to encourage others and to lift others up. And the best way that I know how to do that is to invite them into my experience so that they can at least share in the moments mm-hmm. of what it was like for me to experience God on my journey through mm-hmm. the victories and through the struggles.
That's a good answer, because if you're sharing a certain word of encouragement and you can remove the wall, remove the separation, and because you've gone through it, the person you're pouring into can see your journey or learn about how you walk that road, it can be certainly more impactful.
Yes.
So in that sense, you're not ministering from a distance. Mm-hmm. You're coming close to the, as I was speaking, I'm thinking of Jesus when he touched the leprous man. He didn't just tell him to be healed, but he showed relationship, showed some sense of connection, some sense of, I know who you are. You can relate to me. I can relate to you. So it's sort of the same thing there. So, but why a book? Why not interviews? Why not, which you clearly are doing, but why didn't you just stop there? Why did you choose to put it in writing?
Well, one of the reasons is because God told me to, and I have to say, I've learned a little bit more about quick obedience in my later years than I have my early years, because God told me to write a book for about 21 years. Mm-hmm. That's how long it took me to complete it. But honestly, with that, it was all part of his timing. And so while I felt maybe like, gosh, am I a little slow on the draw? This story, God is the author of our lives. And this Amen. Story that he was writing was unfolding. And mm-hmm. so the timing of its release was in the way that he wanted it to be told.
Amen. Beautiful. And so, beautiful. So it's an act of obedience mm-hmm. to the Lord, why you not only do interviews, but you have written it. I'm an author myself, and I consider what we write in a book a permanent record of what the Lord is doing, what the Lord mm-hmm. is saying. It's a permanent record. It's there. It's not going anywhere. Yes. Good, good, good. So how did your faith in the Lord play a role in your writing the book? How does that fold into that?
Well, first I want to say, I love what you say about a permanent record. That is amazing. And I love the way you look at that, because it's so important. Mm-hmm. For me, my faith is the why behind my book. But during the time that I was feeling called to write, in those years that I really kind of finished putting the book into place, mm-hmm. there was a song by Big Daddy Weave that really encouraged me all along the way. And it's called If I Told You My Story. And the mm-hmm. lyrics say, mm-hmm. if I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. Mm-hmm. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. If I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. Mm-hmm. And if I should speak, let it be of a grace that is greater than all my sin, when justice was served and mercy wins. Amen. And I felt like those words were the words that I had lived. Mm. And that story was something I couldn't keep to myself.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. So those are nice lyrics. Those are hope. It's a testimony, et cetera, et cetera. Were there moments when you didn't see hope? Were there moments when You didn't think there'd be a tomorrow. I wouldn't have anything left in my tank to go through tomorrow. I'm running on empty. Were there such moments?
Oh, there were absolutely those moments. And, you know, I actually stay very raw and vulnerable throughout because part of that faith block for me, I have questioned, I have said, God, why? Mm-hmm. What is going on? What is happening? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a place that a lot of us can get to in our lives when we face difficulties and when we face circumstances. Mm-hmm. And he's not surprised by that.
No, no.
He recognizes that we don't know all of everything that's going on. He means for it to be that way. He wants us to come to him and to trust him.
Amen.
And to let him guide us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we don't always know. And it's, I say in my book a little bit, it's almost a curse that's been handed down from generation to generation. Because when you go back to the Garden of Eden, one thing that God told Adam and Eve was to stay away from the tree of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And we all struggle with that same struggle that they faced, which is, but we want to know.
Mm-hmm.
We want
Good
to know
point.
Why.
Good point.
And he says, but I want you to trust.
Yes. You know, I say, I'm not a fan of the why, Lord, question. It's okay to ask him why. Go ahead and ask. I'm more of a fan of the what question. And the why, Lord, question to me puts him in a defensive mode. Now I have to explain to you what I'm doing. When we ask him the what can I learn from this? What can I glean from this experience to pour into someone else? Now you present yourself to receive from him despite.
Mm-hmm.
While we ask the why question, most of us ask the why question more than we ask the what question when we're going through. And anybody who's a fan of asking the why question will tell you that he rarely ever answers, if he answers at all. Because once he answers the why question, you have forfeited the benefit of going through what you're going through. Because if I know that there's a ditch 3 yards down the road or a half a mile down the road, I'm going to avoid the ditch. So I'm not going to learn the lesson that I would learn if I could fall in the ditch. That's why he doesn't answer the why question, because these things we go through are a lesson. And the idea is when we get to the point of asking the why or feeling empty, this is how we got to this point. It's okay to get there, but it's not okay to stay there. And so we don't beat up ourselves or feel like we've lost it all because we get there. The idea is not to stay. Acknowledge that we're there and let him get us out of there. It's not to stay there. So we're having this open discussion so that the hearers can see that you have a testimony now.
Yes.
But you have a testimony because you were tested. So that means you came to a point of feeling the strain, feeling the pull. And that may be the why, that may be feeling I can't go through it tomorrow. I'm asking, why is this happening to me? But you didn't stay there. You overcame. And that's why you have this book. That's why you're sitting here in this podcast. That's why you do radio interviews, TV interviews, because you endured the test. So it's okay to go through in the test. As a matter of fact, we want to go through the test so that we can have the testimony. Amen.
Yes.
First word in the testimony is test. So part of the word, no testimony, no test, no testimony. Beautiful, beautiful. So the listeners may not know what this book is about. And I think you by now they should. You gave a good synopsis about the experience you had with your daughter and how the Lord has brought you through it. Just before we even go any further, I want to, maybe someone is becoming curious and interested. Tell the listeners, we'll do it again, but tell them where they can find this book.
They can find it on Amazon or really anywhere books are sold. And another place that you can find that or more information is on my website at jennymuscatel.com, JennyMuscatel.com.
Amen. Beautiful. Go get the book. All right. So your daughter had 8 surgeries.
Wow.
And you said that each surgery has its own God walk.
Mm.
Love that term. What do you mean by that?
You know, it's funny because in life, sometimes the things that we do once get easier the second time around. And that is not the case when it comes to heart surgery. Each time we went through, new fears would come up, new circumstances would come up. You know, when you're going through any situation that's a life or death situation or a traumatic event, it comes with its own unique set of challenges. And every time we had to face that surgical battlefield, the thing that I noticed was that spiritual battle wasn't far behind. And each step we took seemed to bring some new layer of tribulation. For example, my daughter's first two surgeries, I was a young mom. This was my first baby. I had to learn how to be a parent, let alone how to be a parent of
a sick child,
medically fragile little girl. And, you know, I had to live through watching doctors give her CPR because her heart stopped beating. And I knew what it was like to pray for mercy and then kneel humbly in gratitude when God gave me that mercy and allowed my daughter to live. But I also know what it's like when God answers no, you know, when my husband passed away, the answer was no, there was no opportunity for a different route or a different answer. And so I had to learn to live through that as well. When my daughter got bigger, we battled fear in new ways, because as we faced these surgical options, we did it without my husband by my side. We had to take, and at other times we had to take all these crazy leaps of faith again and again, because we're doing procedures that had never been done before, you know, but they were the answers, and the hope that God had given us was connecting us to these medical professionals who could think radically and outside the box. And we had to hope and pray that God would deliver everything that needed to happen through those efforts. You know, it's been a process.
So essentially you're saying that each surgery had its own unique challenges. And with those unique challenges, God stepped in a way that is responsive to those unique challenges, right? Of those eight God walks, which one stand out most to you?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So one in particular is honestly the very first procedure that she had. Faith was 4 months old. It was a miracle that she'd even survived that long without surgical intervention. The doctors told us that most children who had the severity of her condition would have passed away between 6 and 8 weeks of life without a surgical intervention. And so the doctors kind of gave us some hope. They said, but the odds weren't good. They said, it's 50-50. We're going to do this crazy procedure that we're basically going to reroute her entire heart, change the way it functions, add man-made parts, do all these different things.
And a little infant.
And this little infant with her heart the size of a walnut, you know? And they say, it'll work or it won't. But we can't do nothing, because if we do nothing, she'll die. And so they did the procedure. And I remember, I mean, it was a good 8 or 9 hours, that first procedure. And I remember the surgeon coming out to talk with me after. And he said, we got through the surgery, but she's not out of the woods. And as he was leaving the room that we spoke in, he said, I'll meet you down there. She's going to look pretty rough, basically. But just remember, she's not out of the woods. And I remember how my heart sank because he said it twice. And I was like, oh, you know, I did not want to hear that twice. That's what the world was telling me. The world was telling me, all logic says we don't know why this kid's still living.
Come on, testify. Come on.
All logic says there's no way this surgery worked on her tired heart. And all logic says we don't have a reason to hope. But God.
Amen. Amen.
Answer.
Amen. Amen.
And he gives us reasons to hope. And so I walked into that room and I saw her, and she's blue and she's cold and she's clammy and she's connected to all these machines and wires. And the ventilator's breathing for her. She has IV lines in her neck and all her extremities. And just, I'm looking at all of these infusions. And my first thought was, because of what I saw, right? Because of what I saw with my own eyes, my first thought was, did I make the right choice? Did I do the right thing? What if she doesn't make it through this step and I could have had more time with her, even if it were just a few more weeks or a few more months? Did I do the right thing, God? And all of a sudden, God gave me a word in my heart that said, look at these things. He said, they are infusing your baby with the things that she needs, but I am infusing your baby with life. And so I was thinking of God's miracle infusion of life in her body. And I felt like, gosh, she's going to be okay. And I'd felt that word. But when fear comes into play, we can forget the promises that God gives us. And 4 days later, when I came around the corner, I walked into the team of medical staff giving her CPR because she had crashed. And they said, we need to get her back to the OR. We don't know what to do. We either have to operate again or we need to put her on a transplant list. I'm not really sure, you know, what we're going to be able to do. They were actually arguing and fighting over which thing
to do, right?
But not for the argument's sake of solution, but for the argument's sake of, we can't do this. It's going to kill her. And so we decided to move forward with the surgery. And that, as a social worker, I kind of know what it means sometimes in those situations when they send the social worker to talk to you. And so they sent the social worker to talk to me, and I was like, oh no, you know, this isn't good, you know? And they had me go to a small room. They said, let's call your family. We need to get people.
Once they say that, yeah.
Yes. And the thing is we were very far away from our family because we had to travel to a specialty hospital even to get her surgery. And so everybody had already traveled back home. Mm-hmm. And so we had to get everybody to drive back down, which was several hours away. And so while we waited, I was in this little teeny room with another couple who I didn't know. They had been there throughout the day, and they had a little baby with them, and they were really just a source of joy in this very dark moment of waiting. And boy, God likes to make us wait sometimes, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
He sure does. Yep. And so we're waiting in this room. And then at about hour 7 or 8, my brother arrived at the hospital. And he's this tall guy, he's 6'4". He kind of comes through the door and you know, he's a source of like peace, but he's also my big brother. So he's always looked out for me. So it was really nice to see him arrive. And just about 5 minutes after he arrived, the nurse came up from the OR and she said, Jenny, I'm so sorry. We have tried everything we can to get Faith off the bypass machine, which is a machine they use to pump blood through your body while your heart's not beating. But we just can't get her off. Her body won't oxygenate. We've tried 4 times. They're going to try once more, and it just doesn't look good. I'm so sorry. And I was crushed. I heard nothing but we can't.
That's what that sounds like. Yeah. Yeah.
I heard nothing but I'm sorry.
We've tried everything. Yes. Yeah.
But my brother, out of the blue, said, Jenny, did you hear what she said? You know, I'm crying. I'm sobbing. I'm panicked. I don't hear anything. I mean, everything's a blur at this point, but I heard his voice. Jenny, did you hear what she said? Wait. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, and it was probably the most powerful wait he has ever commanded in his entire life. He said, she said they're trying once more.
Or, yeah.
I am not giving up. He said, we need to pray. And so as we're sitting there, this couple, this little couple who I'd been sitting with all day, the man jumps up and says, I'm a pastor. Let's pray right now. And so God didn't just put me in a room with no one. He put me in a room that day with a
The
pastor
believer,
who had bold faith, who
yes,
prayed
amen.
boldly,
Praise
just like the Bible
Jesus,
said we can.
amen, amen,
And he
amen.
allowed my brother to show up literally 5 minutes before that nurse came in through those doors. And
Look at
so,
God.
yes, that is God, and he is in the details, that is for sure.
That
And
is a God walk. That
yes.
is a God moment. That
Yes.
is a God intervention. That is a God timing. That is
Yes.
a God, that is a God walk. And
And
listeners, I want you to hear that he knows when to step in. He knows how to position things. Like Jenny said, they didn't just put me in a room. You, Father, put her in a room where a faith builder is positioned. Look at God. That's a God walk.
He doesn't stop there. You know, just when we think God can wow us, he wows us again. You know, he's always working. His eyes are moving about the earth all the time, it says
Yes,
in the
yes,
Bible,
yes,
and
yes,
he
yes.
never stops.
Yeah.
And so a few minutes after we prayed, I remember looking at this phone that was on the corner table in that room back in the day of, you know, handheld,
Corded, yeah.
yes, corded phones. And I remember thinking, God, please just let the phone ring, because I knew if I got a call from the OR, it would be good news. I knew if it were bad news, they would come see me in person. And so I said, please, God, just let the phone ring. And all of a sudden, the phone rang, and I about fall out of my chair.
Amen. Good
And it was the
God.
OR, and they said,
Oh, praise
we are
Jesus.
trying once more to get her off this bypass machine. We have a new idea. We're going to reposition the shunt, which is one of the man-made parts that they put in to kind of adapt her anatomy. And we're going to try once more. And long story short, with that part, she came out of the OR and the surgery was successful. The thing is, when you're an infant and you have that kind of a procedure, they leave your chest open after the procedure because they have to allow the swelling to go down. Otherwise, it will kind of crush the heart. And so they cover it with a plastic mesh and all of that, but the chest itself is not sewn shut. And so 2 days later, 2 or 3 days, I'm having a hard time remembering now, but a few days later, they went to close her chest. And when they did, she crashed again and they had to give her CPR. And in that moment, here's the thing. I knew. I saw the social worker coming and I knew what that meant, but I knew what to do. There was a difference. I no longer looked at the fact that they were doing CPR in front of me. I no longer looked at that all logic would tell me this was a lost cause, that there was no hope. I knew from that moment in that little waiting room that I had to go pray. And so I said, you don't stop doing what you're doing.
Right,
You keep working at it. I'm going to pray.
So you shifted from walking by sight to
Yes.
walking by faith. That experience moved you up from walking by sight, by looking at the situation, looking at the news, by taking in their report. But you began to look beyond that into the faith realm. That's what you did. Yes, yes.
And I ran to the chapel and I prayed. The Bible says that if you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will pray for you. And that's what happened. I just panicked. God, please, 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 please. But all of a sudden, I felt this incredible peace wash over me. And I've heard about a peace that surpasses all understanding, but I experienced it and I knew
Amen.
everything was okay. And I ran back down to the room and she had turned around and they said, we can't explain it. We don't know what happened. She just turned
God
around.
moment, supernatural. You can't explain the supernatural with the
Yes.
natural. Yes.
And I
That's
said,
the
well,
Spirit
I
of God.
prayed. And she said, well, I don't know what you said in that chapel, honey, but it worked. And I said,
God walk. God walk. I just wanted the listeners to hear a real experience when she uses the word God walk, what that sounds like and what that looked like. Even as we speak right now, we have a friend of our family who is fighting for her life in Brampton, Ontario. on a respirator. I saw her yesterday on WhatsApp, and she, yeah. So we are praying and believing that Cindy is going to come out. One day she may listen to this. Cindy, you will come out. You will have your testimony. We're looking for the God walk. We're looking for the God moment, the God timing, the God intervention. Mm-hmm. And we're believing that it's going to happen. If he can do it for Jenny, he can do it for you. Amen. If he can do it for Faith, her daughter, he can do it for you. You're not breathing on your own right now, but you've got life. You're getting up out of that bed. I declare it, I speak it, and I believe it by faith. So we go through things, right? So you went through that situation with your daughter, huge situation, young mother. And you said something that struck me. First child. I mean, I knew this, but first child. And everybody know I'm not a mother, but first child is first child. And it's treated like first child, precious. And then another biggie in your life was you lost your husband at 38. I want you to talk about how that experience placed what I call a demand of faith upon you. Because when we go through things, if we don't have faith in the Lord, that's when it beats us up. That's when it overtakes us. That's when it shreds us to pieces. So how did that pull on your faith?
You know, the thing about that is when I lost my husband, I would say that was a time in my life that I was just honestly completely and utterly broken. Mm-hmm. I was so broken, and I don't have a better word for it. I was mm-hmm. holding all the balls in the air. I was on autopilot. I was doing all the things that I should be doing, so to speak. But inside, I mean, I was just dying in there. And I remember conversations with God on my way to work every morning. And I would just picture him. And I would picture him like we were sitting on a park bench. And he would just be listening to me wholeheartedly with his, in my image, you know, and it, with his face resting on his hands, and just loving me through every feeling that I had, through every word that I wanted to say. And the thing is the Bible tells us in Psalm that God is close to the brokenhearted.
Yes, indeed. Psalm 41, I believe. Yes, yes, yes.
And I can tell you that is so true. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the Bible also tells us that his mercies are new every mm-hmm. single morning.
Every morning.
And that's what I would notice about God. The Bible became my comfort. There really wasn't anybody that I could explain anything to mm-hmm. about how I was actually feeling, but I knew God got it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anybody I could talk to about my innermost hurts, but I could talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful.
Differences, yeah. While it's mm-hmm. wonderful, and I mean, and there were some people I could talk with. It wasn't that I didn't have anyone, mm-hmm. but to have someone who could truly understand, someone who's been there, someone who's been through every test or trial that we could ever imagine, someone who gets it, you know, mm-hmm. that's God.
That's and God. Yeah. Us. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's there for us through every minute. But each morning he would give me something new to hold on to, mm-hmm. be it a text from a friend or just some sweet little way that he'd show up in the details. Mm-hmm. And I would see that mercy, and it would carry me through every day. And the thing was, what might carry me through one day might not carry me through the next.
Correct, correct.
But his mercies were new every single morning, and he'd always give me something else I could hold on to.
Your answer sounds very relational. And we find we're going to find comfort. We're going to find bread for every day in the context of relationship more than anything else. Your picture of you sitting on a bench talking to him with your face in his hands, it can't get more intimate than that. So I would dare say that part of what carried you through is your relationship with the Lord. A person who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord is not going to use a word picture like that. It's not. And you find comfort in his word. He is his word. You found comfort in him, literally in him. So all of what carried you through was found in Christ Jesus, in the Lord and God of your life. So when we go through situations, you know, we read the scriptures, God is my refuge, our very present help in the time of trouble. But some of us, when trouble comes, we seek refuge elsewhere, even though we say the word, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. But when trouble comes, we look for shelter somewhere else, not in his name. So honestly, we kind of have to have a positioning with him before the storm hits. The analogy I use as well is if we're out in the field and there are two buildings out there, and while you're out in the field, a tornado starts or a hurricane starts. And I don't know if you go inside when these things happen, but let's say you're supposed to go inside. One is far from you and one is close to you. Which one are you going to run to? You're going to naturally run to the building that is closest to you. Mm-hmm. So the question I often ask is, could it be that we find ourselves beaten by the storms of life because we're running to the building that is closest to us and it's not God? Because we're running somewhere else, because that we're closer to that. Mm-hmm. And so our relationship with them matters above everything else. What I hear in your answer is relationship. Mm-hmm. It's relationship. You're closer to him and you went to him for shelter. If you were closer to your money or witchcraft or whatever else, that's what you would run to. So listeners, I'm encouraging us today to really use his name as that refuge, really use his name as that strong tower. And his name envelops his character and his nature. Whatever you want him to be, he's El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Fill in the blanks and he will fill it in and more. That context of your connection and relationship with him is going to position you to go ride out the storm, to ride out the storm. So that's my word of encouragement to the listeners today, because life is going to happen and it's probably happening to you now. It has happened in the past. More will come. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. We're not defeated. We're above and we're not beneath. So another phrase you used that got my attention, one was God walk and another was hidden treasures. What do you mean by that?
Oh, hidden treasures. Those are the things that I cherish so deeply. Isaiah 45:3 says, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. God is in every single detail, and the love of Jesus can shine through even the darkest places. And it would not matter what was going on in my day. I could have had the worst day ever, but he would show up in some beautiful little moment and I could see him in that moment. And that would remind me of Jesus is that treasure. And it's funny because I say hidden treasures because he's popping out in all these places, but the reality is Jesus isn't hidden at all. You know, he's there and available to all of us.
And I think hidden is suitable because it's there, but we can't see it. We often do not see it. So maybe we could say hidden in plain sight.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I know I miss him sometimes because sometimes we're looking for him to come the way he came in time past, or we're looking for him to come in a huge, humongous way. It was the prophet who sent out his manservant to look for the cloud. God was not in the wind. He was not in this. He was in a little hand. We're looking for him to come in a huge, magnificent, supernatural way. Snow in August, you know, grass growing out of concrete. I don't know. Birds talking. We're looking for these supernatural, miraculous ways, but he comes in a little way. And we often miss him that way. So hidden treasures is just fine. The scripture says it. It's there. The treasure is there, but we step over it, walk around it, walk by it. No, God didn't show up when he's right there. Jenny, I'm here. Rosemary, I'm here. You're missing me. Yeah, I love it. I love it. The book is written. People will read it. What are the main lessons, or what is the main lesson that you want the readers to walk away with?
One of the biggest things that I think of is Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord God is in our midst, because God is always in our midst. He shows up in those messy places. He doesn't need us to have everything all together or to be perfect, because in quite honestly, we're not going to be perfect. We're never going to have it all together. He wants us to come to him no matter what. He wants us to come to him in our messy, broken places. He tells us that he'll give rest to the weary, and that, you know, his burden is light, and we can lay our burdens at his feet and he'll carry us through. And so I really want the main lesson for people to be that through God and through that relationship with him, that we can have hope and we're not alone.
Love it. Yes. Yes. There's, no matter what the storms are like, no matter what life is like, we can have hope, and hope is a better future. So in other words, this too will pass. Don't stop here. Beautiful, beautiful. How can this book increase a person's faith walk? The name of this podcast, as you know, is All Things Faith Walk. So we talk about things to help people build up, strengthen their walk with the Lord. How can this book do that for your readers?
You know, the funny thing about that is I always have this phrase, and it comes from Revelation, when Jesus talks to the church at Philadelphia, and he asks everybody in that church to simply stand, and God does the rest. You know, we in our faith walk, it doesn't matter. We can stand weak. We don't have to be strong, because Jesus is strong.
Pause right there. Because the average person, including me, just stand. I'm thinking I'm strong, but I love it. We can still stand, wanting to flop down still, but you're still pushing. You're not fortified, because the Father will hold you up. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's an encouragement right there. That's beautiful.
I feel like, I mean, I always say, wobble if you must.
Yeah,
Andy's got you. You know, I remember, I think the other big thing is there's such an important part to vulnerability. And it's just so important that we can be vulnerable with each other, but also vulnerable with God. Because in my mind, vulnerability and humility is the opposite of pride. And when we can let go of our pride, and we can let go of those things that kind of hinder us, and we can be vulnerable before God, and we can ask him for the things that we really truly need, those deep desires of our hearts, that's the place where we can grow. I remember after my husband passed away, walking into the grocery store, and people would ask, how are you doing? And I would have all the rehearsed answers. I would say all the things like, oh, one day at a time, or I'm hanging on, some days are better than others. And then that is the one thing that I would change about my faith walk, and about my history, and about everything that I've been through, is I wish I could have just said to someone, you know what? Not real good. I was up till 3 a.m. Yeah. I couldn't sleep. Yeah. You know, I was sick with worry about a million different things. Because in doing so, I would have opened the door to healing conversations. Mm-hmm. I would have opened the door to talk about God with someone else. And I would have opened the door to be able to just be more vulnerable. And so I think we connect through our vulnerabilities. I think we connect through our struggles, through our joys and victories too, sure. But when we can really be present with one another during those hard times, it's, you know, it's just truly a powerful, beautiful thing.
And that is how we can increase or strengthen our faith walk. Iron sharpens iron. We wear a mask. We've been wearing masks before the pandemic. The church is very good at wearing masks.
Yes.
And as you rightly said, we close the door for someone to pour into us when we give those cliche responses and act the way we believe the public or the church community or the community expects us to act. So that is how, my listeners, brothers and sisters, we can strengthen our faith walk. Connect. Remove the mask. Be vulnerable. I love it. We can stand up weak. That's a sermon right there. Don't have to be strong standing up, because he will hold us up. I love it. I love it. I love it. Jenny, I thank you so very much. I'm going to ask you after you tell the readers one more time where they can get your book, and if they want to get in touch with you, where they can get in touch with them, ask you to repeat that. And then I want you to speak in the life of the hearers that are struggling right now. I want you to just pour into them in your own way, from your own cup into their lives. So tell us again where we can get the book.
You can find it on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. And again, on my website at jennymuscatel.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, minister.
First, I mean, if you're going through a hard time right now, the first thing I would say is you're not alone. You're not the first person to feel that way. And if you are feeling that way, it's not a surprise to God. Like we talked about earlier, God is close to the brokenhearted. And maybe you're just feeling overwhelmed, and you just don't know where to start. I would say start in the Gospels. Jump into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because it's where Jesus shows up, and it's where healing takes place, and it's where we can learn of God's great love for us. And it's also awesome. Where we can learn about the hardships that Jesus has faced as well. And it's where we remember that Jesus has been there. Mm-hmm. And you know, he is not hidden from us. You know, we talk about those hidden treasures, mm-hmm. but he is there all the time. And mm-hmm. he's there for everyone to experience.
Beautiful. Amen. Amen. So there it is. You've been encouraged. You see how the Lord has brought someone out, difficult times, young mother, first child, loss of her husband at a pretty young age. And Jenny's not the first person that has gone through something like this. You've probably heard testimonies like this before, but the word of a testimony comes to encourage and build up the faith of those that may be struggling. So prayerfully, you've heard something today to get you back on track, to get you back up. And remember, you don't have to stand strong. I'm taking that away from this episode. You don't have to stand strong. You don't have to stand strong. So I want to thank you again for joining me on another episode of All Things Faith Walk. Again, this is where I endeavor to bring word and episodes and teachings to strengthen us in our walk with the Lord. You can find me on Books by Rosemary. I have several books that I've written there that you can look for sources. You can find me at Books by Rosemary. Instagram is Books by Rosemary or Books by Rosemary Downer. Same thing for Facebook, Books by Rosemary or Books by Rosemary Downer. So if you like this, share it with someone. Follow, subscribe, so we can learn together and grow together. Again, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of All Things. Lord bless you.